attend this afternoon. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Another one who apologizes is Ian. Ian will not be able to attend. He had a last minute conflict of schedule, a schedule conflict. So Ian, our school director, is not going to attend, unfortunately, but we have Andrew and we have Shelley. So that's good. So the I think we start at 2:03, 2:04. We start this meeting. We'll have the presentation for the future, the report of the future of this sailing school. And we'll also have from Andrew, and we'll also have a presentation from Shelley, our vice commodore, on the safe sport. So, first of all, the report of the future of the sailing school. This subcommittee was put in place last year by our previous commodore, Bill Amirault, to define if we keep going with a sailing school. So Andrew was the chair of that meeting. They worked very hard. They wrote a report. This report was approved by Laurie and Jerry. Then it was approved by the executive of the club. And today, if you all agree, we'll approve the report. The members will approve the report. So before I'll give the mic to Andrew now. If you please can do your presentation, Andrew. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Gilles. Merci beaucoup. Mark, do you want me to share my screen or do you want to share yours?
I want you to run your presentation, please.
Okay. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And thanks for Gilles' introductory comments. Our mandate was to critically review the sailing school's operation and administration, given that we had a two-year hiatus as a result of the pandemic. So the thinking was it was timely to take a detailed look at what was working, what wasn't, where we thought we could go in the future. And if we're not convinced that there was justification to sustain the program, what we would do to wrap it up.
Andrew, do you have a PowerPoint?
You don't have it?
No, we don't see it.
Oh. It says on my screen you're screen sharing.
Yeah, but you're not sharing the proper window, I think.
Ooh.
You're sharing your file list.
Okay, hang on here.
Unshare and reshare.
Okay, all right. Stop share. All right. Moment.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, as I was saying, we were charged by the board to conduct this review, and the members of the committee included Bill, our past Commodore, Richard Dixon, our past sailing school director, Mark Sansom, not only our webmaster and video conference coordinator, but our sailing school operations manager, Phil Morris, our seasoned sail training resource, Meg Graham, our former sailing school head instructor, and Kate Doucette, representing the parents. This review really started with a review of the peer sailing school programs regionally. So we looked at the significant programs around Eastern Ontario, including Kingston Yacht Club, Bay of Quinte, Prince Edward, Nepean, and Britannia. And we also had discussions with Ontario Sailing and laterally with Port Credit Yacht Club. And that gave us a good foundation with which to work in terms of knowledge. Darlene Amaro provided us with the insight on the administrative challenges of the sailing school. And I can't understate, or I should say, I can't overstate the insight that she had provided us in that regard. So, insofar as lessons learned, and this is really based on all the discussions we had with our peer group clubs, the pandemic was disruptive to everyone. And that wasn't just in Eastern Ontario, that was province-wide. And I suspect it was countrywide. No sailing school contacted considered shuttering their operations as a result of the pandemic. I mean, we all had interruptions in one way, shape, or form because of public health concerns, but no one thought that this was the trigger to wind things down. In fact, quite the opposite occurred. There was heightened interest in sail training, primarily because it was viewed as a healthy and safe outdoor activity. So that was somewhat surprising. The smaller programs, and that would be Bay of Quinte and Prince Edward, are not currently offering CanSail 5 and 6. And this is for a variety of reasons. Lack of candidates, because that sort of sail training pyramid had been interrupted by the pandemic. Scarce coaching or instructional resources, once again, partly caused by the interruption of the pandemic, and deterioration or loss of infrastructure. And what I mean by this is sail training boats, coach boats, and the like. Wet feet, or the introductory sailing program, which Ontario Sailing and Sail Canada has been keen on, and CanSail 1 and 2 programs are typically selling out the fastest. And that reflects heightened interest amongst the parent group on getting their kids introduced to sailing and probably getting them out of the house and into a safe outdoor activity. The two largest programs in Eastern Ontario, namely Kingston and Nepean, both employ a full-time program or sailing activities manager. And this is really the Cadillac approach, if I can use that expression, to oversee sailing school recruitment, coordination, marketing, and implementing best practices. I'm not suggesting this is something we want to tangle with at Collins Bay. We just don't have the scale. But it was an insight I gleaned from the discussions with the peer group programs. Each sailing school has a unique flavor. Notwithstanding the fact that we all teach basically to the same CanSail curriculum. There has been a preference to grow your own instructors or coaches, but that doesn't mean that there isn't value in having diversity amongst your coaching and instructional staff, primarily generated through different approaches to training backgrounds coming from different clubs. This is a good way to cross-pollinate and inspire innovation. The vast majority of sailing school programs are run on a break-even or not-for-profit basis. If anyone tells you that their program is profitable, they're probably not running the program out of a traditional yacht club or sailing club situation. And this was, I guess, kind of interesting, kind of disturbing, but there isn't a sailing school amongst the ones polled that can show a consequential link between the alumni of the sailing schools and senior club members or marina customers. So you might ask, why are we in this? Well, we're in this for altruistic reasons, invest back in the community, and hope that returns will accrue to us in the fullness of time. So what of the volunteer effort? And this is an area that we spent some time focused on, primarily assembling data from Darlene Amaro, Mark Sansom, and Richard Dixon, to get a feel for how many hours they were typically spending over the course of a year on running the sailing school. And the results came back, and they were eye-opening. 320 hours for the director, 337 hours for the administrator, 160 hours for the ops manager. This is a significant amount of volunteer time, and it is contributing to burnout of our volunteers and a disincentive for recruiting new volunteers. In addition to that, Darlene went into considerable detail on what she had to learn in order to perform her functions. And although she found it stimulating, she found it also challenging from the perspective that she's not an accountant, she's not familiar with payroll or tax filing, but she had to become familiar. This is another sort of aspect of volunteer contributions, which we need to be mindful of. This can be intimidating to new volunteers to come on board and assume these functions. So I think when we're looking ahead, we really need to consider not only the hours spent, but also if we can recruit from our club members, those people with skills and knowledge that are appropriate to the responsibilities we ask them to perform. At about the three-quarter mark in our process, we did touch base with Jerry and Lori, and we had a good discussion with them about the findings of the report to that point. They provided us some of their insights, namely that the operation of the sailing school at the marina requires a significant commitment of marina resources. And this is beyond our physical footprint. So that would include things like dock installation seasonally, washroom maintenance, boat storage, marina operations impacts, and so forth. This is not something which is trivial in the overall operation of the marina. The marina's focus has been and will continue to focus on customer service. And so the operation of the sailing school shouldn't interfere with this objective. Although there isn't a strong business case for a sailing school at Collins Bay Marina, Lori and Jerry continue to support it because of the yacht club's interest and a broader commitment to the community. And I think this is laudable. The marina is not prepared to support the introduction of a wet feet program at this time. And I can go into detail with you about that, but suffice it to say that this is beyond the scope of our sailing school at this point. Further, the marina continues to be vigilant with respect to competitors in its market space. Having said that, they won't obstruct the club if it chooses to enter into a non-operational collaboration agreement of some sort with Kingston Yacht Club. So what about Kingston Yacht Club and the collaboration we've discussed to date? Well, we started off on a good footing last year. Did explore a coach instructor information sharing session, which did occur. We continue to participate in the Bronze Sail Regattas. Those are really well received, not only by Collins Bay, but clubs around Eastern Ontario. We tried to get their KYC adventure sailing program to make Collins Bay a destination. That didn't happen due to logistical reasons. We talked about Collins Bay's participation in the KYC instructor and training program. That didn't get off the ground last year because of staff demands. There really weren't enough to go around. We did talk about joint coach instructor recruitment, and this is something we're continuing to pursue. Harmonization of salary and wage rates. We in fact have most recently done this. We've also developed a joint marketing strategy such as it is for CanSail 5 and 6. By that I mean, as you will see from the recommendations, our program changes that we're recommending are being acknowledged and reflected in our promotional literature. We have drafted up a letter of understanding to operationalize our commitments, and this updated document is in the process of finalization and will be formally executed by both Collins Bay and Kingston Yacht Club in the fullness of time. There is a real keen interest on the part of KYC to collaborate with us. And I think this is something which is quite constructive and that we should be pursuing with some diligence. We have some outstanding matters, and a number of these are being addressed as we move forward, namely the preparation of a capital plan. That, in fact, has been seized upon by Shelley Nickerson, and we're working towards fulfilling that mandate. We have the special general meeting, of course, today. We are further nurturing our relationship with KYC, and that will manifest itself in an executed letter of understanding. Now, I just want to point out with KYC, we did meet with them most recently on the 26th of January of this year. It was a very constructive meeting. Ian Banville and Mark Sansom were present, along with Rachel Harris, their program manager. And not only did Mark and Ian get introduced to Rachel, but we did talk about Ian's participation in their instructor coach recruitment interviews. And we're hopeful that that will take place next week, or at least that was the impression we were left with at the conclusion of our video conference. So, recommendations. We want to renew the commitment to sustaining Collins Bay's sailing school program. This came through from all of our consultations as well. It was reaffirmed through our discussions with the regional peers that sailing schools are something that clubs are continuing to invest in as the pandemic. However, we want to focus the school program on those activities that we can do well, namely CanSail 1-4, and drop those activities that we cannot do as well, namely CanSail 5 and 6. Now, for those of you who are unaware, the infrastructure requirements for CanSail 5 and 6 are more than they are for CanSail 1-4. It involves sail training boats, coach boats, higher degrees of training for our instructional coaching staff. It's something which, clubs which offer it are keenly aware of, and those that aspire to offer it are challenged by. We want to continue to monitor the emerging trends in sail training and adapt what we can into the CBYC program. We want to continue to nurture our collaborative relationship with KYC. We think that we're at the early stages of this relationship, and we think that it will pay dividends. We want to obtain relief for the Sailing School Administrator for Revenue Canada reporting. This has already been done. we want to restructure the sailing school administration to distribute the tasks amongst more volunteers. Ian has got this well in hand, but more work is required. We want to grow the opportunities for social interaction between the parents of sailing school students and the yacht club members. And there are a number of different ideas we have floating around for this. I won't steal any of Ian's thunder. I'm sure he'll add even more. We're developing the capital plan under the direction of Shelley. And we need to continue to work with Ontario Sailing to maintain a dialogue with our regional peers and the other clubs elsewhere in the province. This has been lacking over the past few years. Ontario Sailing recognizes this, and they're prepared to dedicate more time and effort to resuscitating this function of theirs. So with that is my brief presentation. I'm open to questions.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Very interesting. Good report. A lot of work. Any questions from the members?
Gilles, my hand is up.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah, I see it. I see that. Yes. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to lower my hand, and I wanted to ask Andrew if he could elaborate a little bit more on what this passage destination actually involves. And I also wondered if you would be able to elaborate a little bit more on what future involvement with KYC would be in terms of collaboration.
Sure. Chris, the adventure sailing is an unstructured program, not based on CanSail. It's for students that want to get out on the water on a keelboat, paddleboard, kayak. And what we had hoped for was with the keelboat part of this subset of KYC's sail training program that they would bring the group to Collins Bay, like make Collins Bay a destination for their passage. So while we had talked about this, unbeknownst to us until the end of the summer, they had some problems with their boat, their keel boat that they were using for this adventure sailing program, and they couldn't make it to us by the end of the summer. So it's something that we would look at possibly next year, but basically it would be taking like a Shark or like a CNC 27, putting in a few kids and an instructor and sailing it to Collins Bay, coming to Collins Bay, talking with the students at Collins Bay, the instructors turning around and going back to KYC. It's nothing more elaborate than that. However, it might capture the imagination of a few more young sailors, and we thought it was something worthwhile to pursue. The collaboration with KYC came out of a recognition that if we did abandon CanSail 5 and 6, that we needed viable options so that our students could pursue their sail training objectives elsewhere. And KYC, of course, is in the city of Kingston. It's also, I would submit, in Eastern Ontario, probably the most sophisticated CanSail 5 and 6 program available. So why wouldn't we, attempt to direct our CanSail 5 and 6 candidates there? In addition, there seem to be some synergies between Kingston Yacht Club and ourselves from a sail training perspective that there was mutual interest in pursuing. When I initially started the discussion with KYC, I had no idea how they were going to respond. I had no expectations about, you know, their interest in collaborating with Collins Bay, but there seemed to be a kernel of interest there that was, or it seemed to me, was worth, you know, drilling down on. And we've now done that, and we've, you know, sort of fleshed out this letter of understanding. And I'm quite encouraged about the benefits, which we will, you know, extract from that going forward.
Will we be looking at that letter of understanding this afternoon?
We can. It involves another risky sharing of document on the screen, here, but it's only a 2-page document.
Jill, I'm just asking if it would be valuable to do that at this point, or is this something that the executive's going to look at? I'm just not sure where we are.
Well, probably not, because the executive's already looked at that. I mean, the meat of it is we've got guiding principles, and they're kind of motherhood, like, you know, we're entering into a relationship to advance the delivery of learn to sail training in the Greater Kingston area. The relationship's success will be founded on transparent communications, collegiality between two organizations that share the objective of growing the sport of sailing, so on and so forth. But then when we get into the deliverables, I've mentioned the deliverables to you that, you know, we tried to stand up this past season, and, you know, the result of those efforts. And really what we're focused on going forward right now is the joint instructor recruitment. We've got, three instructional coach candidates who have expressed interest in signing up again for our program this season. We're looking for a fourth, possibly a fifth. And KYC's already advertised as of last fall for, you know, their new instructional or coaching recruits. So they're in fact ahead of our curve, and we're trying to, capitalize on their progression in that domain to, look for hires that we might make at Collins Bay and benefit from the economies of scale that KYC offers. The other thing, if you missed it earlier, was we did examine our salaries for our coaches and instructors, and they are, for all intents and purposes, harmonized with what KYC is offering. So candidates to become coaches or instructors at Collins Bay, you know, can't dismiss us by saying KYC pays more. Mm-hmm. That was really the objective around that.
Right. So harmonizing of salaries would work in our favor.
Yeah, exactly. So
do you foresee
it is a different experience for an instructor or coach? I mean, we're not really a traditional bricks and mortar club, you know. But our club does offer, you know, sort of advantages too, insofar as it's is open air. It's kind of more campy, if you will. And that has some appeal to, you know, instructors and coaches.
Sure. Sure. So do you foresee any negative impact of this kind of collaboration with KYC at this time?
Not at this time, but I mean, you know, to Laurie and Jerry's point, you know, we met with them to discuss this. You have to be vigilant. We have a receptive audience at KYC right now, but characters around the board table change. Uh-huh. And, you know, different attitudes can bring problems in the future. And I can't foresee them sitting here today, but I think, you know, you got to continue to nurture that relationship if you want it to work for you. And Ian and Mark, I think we're impressed with Rachel Harris's openness, their program manager. And when I have spoken with the vice commodore and the general manager at KYC. I have to say, I was also impressed with their openness and their desire to, you know, have something work between Collins Bay and KYC.
I agree with you, Andrew. I think this is well worth exploring. And I think that, you know, things change. And this offers the opportunity for some positives for our sailing school.
That's what I'm taking away from it. You know, there have been a number of discussions about, you know, do we want to resume teaching CanSail 5 and 6 at Collins Bay? And certainly Richard did feel strongly that this was one of the avenues in which we could grow our own instructors and coaches. And I'm not suggesting that isn't true. I'm just suggesting now, and I'm recommending now, we don't have a sail training program which can adequately provide for CanSail 5 and 6 candidates. So recommending KYC is a no-brainer because they've got the infrastructure. They bring regionally the best together with the best, and I mean the candidates, and they can benefit from their peers and, you know, grow in their knowledge and skills. And to me, this is where we want to be as a, you know, sail training program.
Well, I mean, I think it's a very valid point. Do we even want to do 5 and 6? You know, is that what we want our sailing school to be?
Well, in many respects, we can't afford to do it because it involves, you know, an investment in a new coach boat, higher speed, more capable in, you know, more demanding weather so that, you know, we can support our kids when they go to out-of-town regattas, those types of things. You know, CanSail 5 and 6 also encroaches more on the marina schedule in the fall because you might want those candidates to participate in fall cork, and that would require training through the early part of the fall. So, you know, there are a whole bunch of sort of knock-on effects if you recommit to CanSail 5 and 6.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for clarifying those things for me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Andrew, I have in the chat box here, I have a comment from Dave. Dave wrote, I saw that there was no observation of an increase in senior membership as a consequence of the sailing school operation. Any observation on that aspect, Andrew?
What the yacht clubs told me I spoke with was we have a hard time maintaining any kind of database which would show a clear connection between graduating from a sailing school program and becoming a future member at that yacht club. Typically, we lose track of our sailing school alumni. They go away to school, they start careers, families, so on and so forth. And they may come back into the sport, but not necessarily at the club they graduated sailing school from. So we're all making this investment, believing that we're contributing to the sustainment of the community at large, but we don't have more detailed information on, you know, precise benefits accruing to our investment.
Yeah, correct. I agree. Yeah, agree with that. Oh, I see. I see Bill is here. Nice to see you, Bill. okay. I'm just scanning all the cameras here to see if there is a hand up for another last question or comment for Andrew. I don't see any hand up. So if there's no more questions or comments, I'd like to now proceed with the recommendation of the report. I think Mark, can you stop sharing, Andrew?
Yeah.
Mark, did you, I think you prepare a vote screen. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Next step would be to the next step will be to adopt a motion to vote on the report. Okay. One, accept the recommendation of the SS Future subcommittee, and then we appreciate Andrew. Of course. Okay, so the vote is open. Let's vote for the next 2 minutes. Tick, 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 click, click, click. Okay.
Just for the record, I did not solicitate the second question.
In Montreal, we call that les enveloppes brunes. Okay, so we'll wait another minute, and then the next part of this special general meeting will be the presentation of safe sport policies from Shelley. But we'll wait a little bit, and
so as it stands,
yeah,
Gilles, we've only got 15 out of 15 and 15 out of 15, so we can end the poll.
Okay.
And I can share the results.
Sure. Oh, great. Okay. Thanks. So the report is accepted. And and it's
and someone appreciates Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, that's nice. So thank you so much, Andrew, for all the work you did on this subcommittee with your team. Actually, you were not alone. So I know you had a lot of meetings, and we appreciate that that work you did. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. Next step is the presentation of safe sport policies. I asked 2 weeks ago, I asked Shelley to be our safe sport leader, and she is chairing this subcommittee on safe sport. So please, Shelley, can you present your PowerPoint, please? Thank you so much.
Okay, let's see if I can get rid of this one taskbar. Okay, here we go. All right, so welcome everyone. Thanks for taking some time out of your day today to attend the annual meeting and to learn about not only what we've been doing as far as the school is concerned, but also safe sport and the policies that we have to adopt as a member of Ontario Sailing, and overall at the national level, a member of the National Sailing Association. So what is safe sport? Safe sport, of course, is the commitment and initiative to prevent and address maltreatment in sport, ensuring sports environments are free from abuse and harassment. The reason this has come about is the fact that you probably heard it in the news. We've had issues with the sport of hockey, and there was a CBC investigation in February 2019 that over the last 20 years, we've had 340 coaches charged with sexual offenses against minors. We've had 600 victims, 222 convictions, and 34 ongoing cases as of today. This spans 36 sports and has continued to grow. It's in the news almost every day that another sport has received a complaint, to the point where now it's getting the attention of the Prime Minister, and sports associations want the Prime Minister to do something about it. So for us, at the national level, the Sailing Association has adopted a safe sport policy program that has distributed down to Ontario Sailing, and they have distributed it to all the local yacht clubs and marinas. So this is what we must do. We have to adopt the safe sport policy package. We have to build awareness amongst all our members, our staff, and our volunteers, and that's what I hope to do today. And it's to create an inclusive and safe culture within our organization. Once we adopt these policies, we have to actively implement them, and we have to actively make sure that they're available to all of our members so that they can get more information, and if there is a complaint, that they have the avenue to express that complaint. It's a harmonized approach. I think I said that before. Oh, I have to go back one. What happened here? Just a minute. Okay, I've lost you. There we go. So it's a harmonized approach and at all levels, national, provincially, and then at the local level. It provides a standard for our behavior and conduct, and to ensure that we are consistent across the board. It alleviates pressure at each level of sailing in Canada, and the resources are invested once. In other words, the National Sailing Association invested thousands and thousands of dollars and thousands of hours to create these policies so that we wouldn't have to. And then they provided these package down to through the provincial level down to the local level. Maltreatment. The reason why I have this definition up there is because everyone has to understand what it is, what maltreatment is, and to abide by it. It's any volitional act by an individual that results in harm or the potential for physical or psychological harm to another individual. This can be in the way of personal criticism, body shaming. It could be throwing things, punching objects, denying attention, and means of favoritism or not, physical contact or non-contact. It could mean providing alcohol to minors, denying food, drink, medical attention, or allowing early return from an injury, let's say in a coaching environment. The policy package contains the following prevention policies: code of conduct, protection policy, social media policy, a screening policy, and a whistleblower policy. Code of conduct is to be signed annually by all members, students, instructors, coaches, and volunteers. It provides the expectation of appropriate behavior at all times for everyone and a commitment to follow all policies that are put in place. The protection policy lays out what is an acceptable safe sport environment, and it provides actions for practices and events, communications, virtual settings, travel, locking room changing areas, photography or videography, physical contact, and the policy of rule of two. Social media policy is what's acceptable behavior under the code of conduct and protection policy that also applies to social media. We always have to keep individuals' information private. Individuals have the right to ask sailing organizations to disengage with them from social media, and anything that's posted on the internet is not private and can be seen by anyone. Deleting information from social media does not remove the possibility of sanctions. So in other words, if there's an investigation and you deleted all your email or your social media, it can still be asked for in an investigation, and there are ways to retrieve it. when you post something on social media, of course, it represents yourself, the club, and the sport. Screening policy outlines the expectations around member organizations to screen personnel and volunteers. Screening is not just a criminal record check. It's also your resume, application, interviews, references, and training is all part of screening. The screening level matrix determines what screening is completed based on the job, role, and responsibilities that each member attains. Each club will need to assess their volunteers based on volunteer structure and the risks associated with each position. For instance, the Commodore and probably the Treasurer would need a police background check, and same with instructors and coaches. Other volunteers may only need to look at references or at maybe your resume. There's no reason for participants and members and one-time special event volunteers who are in low-risk supporting roles to be screened. When we think about our screening process, we'll consider things such as opportunity for access to participants, especially minors, and the level of trust and decision-making each position involves. Everyone will complete some level of screening, and screening is done at the initial start with annual and three-year renewals. And we will ask our staff and volunteers to sign off on screening disclosure forms, usually at the beginning of a season. Whistleblower, everyone has a right to feel safe, and if they do not, they have a right to report any unacceptable behavior without consequences. The rule of two, the purpose of rule two is we just have to remember that we shouldn't be ever isolated or be alone with a student or an athlete. It's not so bad at Collins Bay because a lot of the training is done outside and there's usually other people around. But there's rules that we have to follow. Just to make sure that, for instance, pick up and drop off of students should be timed with practice starts and ends. And participants perhaps can wait in the car until they see other students arriving so that they're not alone. What does open and observable look like? Well, for example, a participant meeting or one-on-one coaching is open and observable if it's done outside and other people are around to see it. So as long as we are outside, visible, and within earshot distance of another coach, screened volunteer or parent or adult, we are following the purpose of rule of two. Communication with participants and parents is key. We have to ensure that everyone knows the expectations of our club and our school, understand the why, and be proactive in ensuring everyone knows what's acceptable behavior and what is not. And it's all of our responsibility. Response. The response policies are also in place inside the package. We have a discipline and complaints policy, an appeal policy, and a dispute resolution policy. With the discipline and complaints policy, it's quite detailed in the process, and I won't go through it all here, but it will be available for all to read if as necessary. You have 14 days to report a complaint in writing to the international third party, which is hired by Sail Canada. There's a systematic ladder to complaint management, and it provides support provincially and at the national level. The independent third party, they are the triage. They look for validity and responsibility. Their responsibility is to manage and determine the requirement for an independent investigation. And they will appoint an investigator with training and experience. The report goes back to the independent third party from the investigator, who then proceeds based on the report. It's important to know and respect the confidentiality and privacy systems that are in place. The appeal policy, it provides individuals with a fair and affordable and expedient appeal process for those who have been affected by a decision taken by your club that concerns a conflict of interest, disciplinary decisions made pursuant to your club's relevancy and applicable policies, and the membership. Grounds for appeal. like a decision outside of the jurisdiction, and it did, or they didn't follow proper procedures, or it's influenced by bias, or it's grossly unfair. Dispute resolution opportunities for ADR or adult dispute, alternate dispute resolution may be pursued at any point in a dispute when all parties to the dispute agree in such that a course of action would be mutually beneficial. In other words, if you want somebody to mediate your dispute, you can have that that mechanism put in place. Most common misconceptions regarding this policy package. We don't have a need for it because everyone gets along and everyone's well-intentioned. Well, it just takes one. It just takes one incident. And then we're in trouble if we don't put this in place. Another myth is if we don't have time or resources to deal with this and it costs too much. Well, the thing is that we didn't have to pay for the package. It was distributed to us and all the work was done ahead of time. And when something happens, it's really too late to try to figure out what the preventative measures are. So it's good to have the preventative measures in place now. And then when we need it, we have something to fall back on. And we have the policies in place to tell us what to do about it. We can handle all of our issues ourselves. Well, clubs that have gone through situations often discover their policies are not thorough enough, and they look to the Sailing Association for support. Conflict of interest issues, legal fees, time, and expertise become a lot regardless of the club size. The most common question, we're a cruising club or a social club. We don't offer any learn to sail or racing type programs. Do we need to do this? Yes, all organizations need to adopt the policy package as it stands. The expectations for behavior apply to all interactions at the club, including between members and volunteers. So we have to adopt policies as they stand. If we want to add to those policies due to specifics for our own club or school, we are allowed to do so. We just can't take away from any of the policies in the package. Our next steps will be to adopt the policies by the 1st of April, 2023. Then we make them available for the membership to read and understand. All sailing school instructors and officials must be registered. All members, students, parents, volunteers from Collins Bay Yacht Club must sign the Code of Conduct, which is a form that will be signed yearly. And it's going to be available when your membership dues are required. I think the bottom line is that if you see something, say something. Because even something small could be something really big. We had an incident last year, or maybe it was the year before, I can't remember now, where Dave and I saw a man photographing girls in front of the sailboats in our club. Dave approached him, and it turned out that that photographer was actually the guy that's in Kingston right now that has over 100 charges against him for abuse to children. So that's where something that small blew up into something that was very significant. All complaints and incidents will be heard and processed as per policy instructions. If you have any questions, by all means, please ask. And if you don't want to ask online, you can always write me at my email address for Collins Bay Yacht Club. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Shelley, for this presentation. I'm checking if we have some questions in the room. I don't see any. Any questions? Go ahead.
How do I unshare my screen?
Gilles, I had a question.
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. For Shelley. I had two things I wanted to ask about. First is the washroom. How are we going to handle that in terms of the children being in the washrooms? Is there going to be two instructors in with them, or how are we going to do that? Because that is a highly risky situation for bullying and body shaming and other things that we really don't want happening. Has that been considered at this point?
Absolutely. Actually, and maybe Mark can mention this or can mention the policy that is in place already before this policy package came out. In their operations manual for the school, they mentioned that they take the students to the washroom in groups and they always take them with an instructor. Now, I know there are going to be cases where there'll be a person that maybe needs to go to the washroom because they're not feeling well. They may have to go outside the group. In that case, we will have to be very vigilant in that respect to make sure that they are not going to the washroom alone. Because you're right, there's adults around. The club is open to all. Sometimes people ask to use the washroom that aren't members of our club, and we oblige. And we, if you have a key, you open it and they use the washroom. I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while it does, because of course the club is part of the marina. The marina has a good community reputation, and so we try to keep that that going. But yes, we will have to be more vigilant, and it will have to take all of us, not just members of the school, not just the instructors, but all of us.
Thanks, Shelley. That clarifies it for me, and I agree with you completely. It's vigilance that we have to do in that particular situation. And I think my partner has a question for you.
Yeah, I was just looking at a practical application of that, Shelley, and I just wanted to make sure my understanding is the same as what you're trying to convey here. So, for example, I'm in the bathroom, standing at a urinal, and a young kid comes in. Do I then ask that kid to leave and wait outside till I'm done? Because that's the reality. Do all the policy stuff, but the reality is, how do you manage that?
Yeah, I think we have to also be... It's not like you're going to the washroom outside, like off the end of the dock or at the end of your boat. It's you're in a washroom where we do close the door. And for the most part, there's no girls going into the men's washroom. But I think it's personal comfort. You think that if you don't feel comfortable that a young child alone, a minor has come and entered the washroom and you're in there, if you feel that you need to ask them to wait outside, by all means, if that makes you feel more comfortable, it's probably better to do so.
Okay, thanks.
I think we have to sort of judge for ourselves how we feel and what the situation that arises, because there's not one answer for all situations. Mm-hmm. It also has to be comfort and what situation you are in around minors that are at the club. Go ahead, Mark.
With regards to the sailing school, it is the practice that a instructor take a group of people to the washroom. The washroom door, I believe, is left open, so there's continuous conversation and availability, so that there is no one person left by themselves or unescorted. And that's for the safety of any club member who might actually be in the washroom, as well as for the safety of the students, as well as for the safety of the instructor. I mean, it's all about covering our own liability. And we're I think we're doing a very good job of it currently, but we need to be, I guess, more aware.
Mm-hmm. Great. Shelley, question for you. We understand all the members of the club will have to sign the code of conduct in every year. What about the other boat owners who are not members of the club?
So that's a question for Lori and Jerry, but I believe that how the Sailing Association sees it is that if you have any affiliation with the Sailing Association or Ontario Sailing and the sport of sailing, they would like you to put the code of conduct in place. Now that's something that we can, that Lori can reach out and ask that question from Sail Canada, and she's probably already done that. They would really like to have this code of conduct across the board, because things can happen anywhere. And it's the reputation of the sailing, the sport of sailing, that would be at the detriment and of our club and of our marina. And we don't want that to happen.
Go ahead, Laurie.
So it is a question that we need to pose to Ontario Sailing. This is just new. Like, we've just learned about this in the last couple of weeks. So we're going through this safe sport, seeing how we can implement it with the stuff that we have in place through our marina contract and information. So it's unlikely the marina will have anything in place this year this quickly, but we are looking into our part of things as well to keep everybody, all of our customers safe. And of course, we want to keep the students safe and have good policies in place. So this is a starting point for the marina, and we'll look and see what we can implement as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lori. I just want to emphasize something you said, Sherry. This is for sure obvious in the case of children, but this might apply also between two adults, two members of the club, or two owners of a boat at the club. So all these policies are there for adult as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As a member of our club, we have to have this code of conduct in place. And it's for every situation. We have events, we have cruising events, we have racing events, we have events, barbecues, we have all kinds of events where drinking is involved, and somebody says something off the cuff to somebody else and makes them feel uncomfortable. That is code of conduct. That mm-hmm. is where this policy is in effect, basically. We have a way to behave. We have a way to treat each other with self-respect in a safe environment, and that's what we have to promote.
And there's something, Ellen, I'm going back to you just after this last comment. You said, once you said, Sherry, that with the reciprocity agreements we have, let's say one of our members goes to another club somewhere around the lake, they will all have signed the same code of conduct over there as well.
That's correct. That is correct. Because anybody affiliated with Ontario Sailing or the National Sailing Association will have these policies in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Ellen.
This is Ken Dakin.
Sorry, Ken.
The tall guy with the red hair. The question I had for Shelley pertained to the administration of the policy and the burden of responsibility that falls on the board. When I heard terms like investigation, alternative dispute resolution, these are formal and potentially costly matters. I'm unclear where the board fits in to those actions, those types of follow-up actions.
So for us, we take the complaint and then we follow the process that's laid out in the policy.
Uh-huh.
And it goes to Ontario Sailing. And then they forward it to the level that it's appropriate for the complaint. And at that time, they decide about who investigates and who the independent third party is. They have an independent third party already hired who does the investigation. We have to show hands off. We have to show unbiased. And so all of that is in place and all that is written in the policy itself. I didn't go into detail about the disciplinary process, but it's all laid out and it's very, very detailed.
Thank you. My one observation is that I agree very much with the institution of this type of policy arrangement at the club level. And I say that based on experience. In our years of sailing, particularly with a previous club, Helen and I saw a very sad circumstance of inappropriate behavior, in this case, by a sailing instructor with the students, that ultimately led to criminal charges and incarceration and very, very bitter subsequent relationships in amongst the club members. It was actually very, very tragic. I think it's a very good thing to put in place this type of framework, because these things can happen and happen unknown to the vast majority of the club. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Yeah, you're right. You're so right. Any more comment or question for Shelley?
Actually, Dave brought up a good point in the chat. We have family memberships with members that are minors, and so we need to ensure that we have these code of conducts in place, because we have members of all ages that we interact with on a regular basis, and we need to be careful what we do and how we act around minors. And sometimes all it takes is a few drinks and we forget how we're supposed to behave. And so that's where this really, really, we have something that we can actually refer to now with a policy in place. Before, you could say something, they say, what are you going to do about it? Well, now we have a mechanism.
Go ahead, Claudia.
I just want to thank Shelley. There's a lot of information here, but I think be very concise, this is being provided to us free of charge, and it is for our protection. So that's the way we have to look at it. That's the way we have to promote it. Bad things can happen, but this protects us. Mm-hmm. And it's all good. Thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. Yep. And
bad things can happen to good people.
Right, exactly. So as soon as the executive approved this, this package, all those policies, they will be available through Shelley, who is our new Safe Sport lead at the club. She is the point of contact with Sailing Ontario Safe Sport. So these packages will be available, but first we have to approve and maybe add some stuff on the policies. And once they are approved, you will get access to these probably on the website, Mark, isn't it? It's going to be on the website.
We'll have them on the website, yeah. And we'll have a hard copy, I believe, available in the club. In the clubhouse.
Great. Okay. If we don't have any question anymore, thank you all. It was, I think, a very good special general meeting. My first general meeting with you guys. It's really nice. I'm happy to be with you. I think it's 10 after 3, and we can adjourn. Who wants to propose the adjournment? Mark?
One thing I would like to say.
Yes.
Thank you very much to Shelley for taking on this huge project. We need it. It needs to be implemented. It needs to be implemented properly. So thank you for taking on this project. Andrew, thank you for taking on the subcommittee for the Sailing School Future report. We appreciate it. Yes, I also suggest that we adjourn.
Yeah.
Thanks, so Mark.
You're right. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Shelley. A really good good presentation this afternoon. And I know you work hard on those two committees. So thank you. Thank you, both of you. And thank you all. And we'll keep working for you guys. So take care. And if you go outside, put some stuff, because it's so cold. Really cold. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks very much.
Bye. See you all.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.